Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. I get to pray with people a lot. Now, that may not sound like too big of a surprise, but for pastors, but I didn't become a pastor until I was 42 years old. So making that adjustment in life, that change in life was a little different. As a layperson in my 20s and 30s, I prayed with others, obviously, with other friends and small groups, and of course with family at worship services. But when I became a pastor, I got to do it every day, praying at the start and end of meetings, in Bible studies, in counseling sessions, in hospital visits, etc. I got to do it individually more with people, and now I still get to do it individually with students who I talk to in my office or other places. But I found that in the parish, one of my main times of intercession for individuals and the congregation were early in the morning, when I'd wake up naturally at 5 or 5:30 thinking about the struggles, the groanings that people had told me about in their lives the day before or the week before, the concerns that they had for their family, their health problems, the issues at church. And then suddenly, naturally, while I was thinking about those things, I would find myself in prayer. Sometimes, to be honest, I wanted to stop and just go back to sleep, but the thoughts and the concerns would keep coming, and I would keep offering them up to Jesus in prayer, sometimes not even knowing what it was I should be praying for. Sometimes simply saying, "Lord, you know what they need. Forgive them. Renew them. Strengthen them in your word and sacraments. Amen." And then I'd be off praying for the next person and the next circumstance that I remembered. I did find in the parish that when I was talking with an individual or a person about some groaning, some struggle they were having, it usually just came up naturally that we should address it in prayer. I usually offered to pray and let them pray out loud as well. Now, when I usually offer to have a seminarian pray out loud with me and just a couple thing in my office, that's usually not too difficult for seminarians. But when I did that with parishioners, at least about once a week, I got a deer in the headlights sort of look from them, like, "Oh no, Pastor, I don't want to pray out loud. That's too scary. I don't know how to pray. I won't say the right words. I'll be embarrassed." And I knew I'd kind of put them into a no-win situation. I didn't really mean to, but it was a no-win. Either they would say a prayer and they would feel like I was judging them, or they wouldn't offer to pray and say, "No, you just pray for us, for me here, Pastor." And then I'd somehow be judging them that they weren't able to pray. I wasn't doing either one. I just wanted to offer them the opportunity to pray. When you go out into parish situations, it may actually even happen already in family situations, they'll look to you and say, "Would you like to lead the prayer for us, because you are now a seminarian?" But for all of you who have ever felt awkward when asked to pray out loud, for fearing that you wouldn't use the right words, be comforted with today's text. Verse 26, "Likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." There you go. It teaches you in the Bible that you don't even have to know what you need to pray for. Now, just like some people have learning disabilities, Paul seems to be teaching here that we all have some sort of praying disability. And Paul isn't just stating this spiritual truth out of thin air. He has a reason. Why is he revealing to us that the Holy Spirit is doing all this groaning and praying for us anyway? For an answer to that, we have to look back to verse 22 and 23, where Paul says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body." This word "groan" denotes in Greek a deep sigh because of an unfavorable circumstance. The Holy Spirit knows that we are still living here in a difficult, difficult world. The creation is groaning with new diseases and new wars and new catastrophes and new struggles for us individually every day. And he knows that we're not even very good at knowing what we need to ask for. Jesus came to reverse all of these things. And ultimately, he did it with his sacrifice, with his crucifixion, and especially with his resurrection, which gives us the hope, the patient hope, to wait for what we do not yet see. He knew that we would be unable to grasp and comprehend this wondrous gospel on our own, so he asked his Father to send his Holy Spirit to us. He told his disciples in John 14, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Not many of you would know this, but actually I'm a co-author of a little book for special education teachers about learning disabilities. When I was in grad school years ago at the University of Kansas, I fell into a research project that surprisingly resulted in a book 10 years later. It's called The Lesson Organizer Routine, and it's a book to help teachers, especially special education teachers, know how to organize their lessons in a particular way to help students with learning disabilities to understand the lesson better. The basic premise is if you give struggling students a brief summary of the lesson first, they will better understand the rest of the lesson. We all have spiritual learning disabilities, even a praying disability. We don't always know what we ought to be praying for, and it's a great comfort to know the Holy Spirit is intervening for us because of our disability. But that doesn't mean that we stop praying. We have the best special education praying disability teacher the universe has ever known in our Lord Jesus and in the Holy Spirit that he sent us. Jesus taught us to pray and gave us a lesson organizer with which to structure our prayers and even to know in general what the Holy Spirit is praying for us. I encourage you to learn to pray the way Jesus taught us to pray by praying the Lord's Prayer with meaning, with conviction. Meditate on each of the petitions. Don't just run through them mindlessly, quickly, repetitively, like a mantra. Instead, meditate upon each petition. Pause at the end of each phrase and ponder what it is that you are praying for. Review the wondrous teachings. That's what I reached inside my pocket to get. I realized I'd forgotten to get it out of my pocket. Out of the small catechism. I used to give these little pamphlet versions of the catechism away like water in the parish so that my parishioners would continue to review what the catechism said when they were in their hospital rooms or in a nursing home. The first petition are about our needs and our relationship with God, our Father. Lord, may your name be kept holy in my life and in our lives here at the seminary. May I never blurt out your name in an improper way, but call upon your name for comfort and praise. Lord, may your will be done in my life, that I may believe your holy word and given me by the power of your Holy Spirit. May your kingdom come by keeping us steadfast in your word and faith until you come again, and Jesus, come again quickly. The Lord also taught us to pray for our physical needs as well as our spiritual needs. Lord, give us our daily bread. But we remember that daily bread is not just our own food, but everything that belongs to the support and wants of the body. Clothing and shoes, house and home, money and family, good government and good weather. We're actually praying for the societal infrastructure, both in our country and around the world, that will allow for food and drink and safety for everyone. But we don't just pray for our earthly needs. We also pray for what we need the most, the Lord's forgiveness and protection in this world that is decaying and passing away. We pray that we will forgive others and show them the scope of Jesus' love for them as he does for us. That is what the Holy Spirit is intervening for us, praying that we will be delivered from the evil one and come to live with Jesus forever and ever. Just so you know, if I was still in the parish, I'd probably be teaching people about this, but those that have iPhones or some sort of phone pad, probably the CPH version that can be downloaded as an app. A story is told about a city slicker who walked into a Western saloon one day. He was amazed to see a dog sitting at the poker table playing cards with three men. And he wandered over and he asked someone, "Can that dog really play cards?" "Yeah," said one of the men. "But he ain't much of a player. Whenever he gets a good hand, he wags his tail." Because of the grace of God, we are holding the best hand on earth, an unbeatable hand. The Holy Spirit is intervening for us, praying for us, and revealing to us the very end of the game that Jesus wins for us. Our joy can show. Our tails can wag. The situation, the groaning, may not look like a winner, but know that the Holy Spirit has made you a winner in Christ. May the world see your hope and your joy, the confidence that you have in the long run, that we win in Jesus. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with our hymn, 700.